Blog Talk Radio.
Conversations with Goddess M, where love and relationships are in elevation. I am Melani Shani, a.k.a. Goddess M, your host, and I'm here with my co-host, Goddess Asha.
Greetings, Collective.
And we are your Elevation Goddesses for this evening, and you're listening on High Frequency Radio Network. Thank you to all of you who have agreed to join us and be fully present and take this journey to conversate with us about our topic tonight. We are continuing our series on Tools for Elevated Living, talking about living altars with our special guest, Eve, intuitive reader and energy healer. We want to welcome those of you who are joining us for the very first time. We appreciate your presence here. And welcome to those of you who are regular listeners. We love you and we thank you for your support and for listening. So our intention for the show, as always, is to elevate and bring light and love and to relationships. And our theme is for 2017 is to be love and to initiate intimacy because we are in elevation. For you, our listeners, this is a no-judgment zone where you can relax, grow, heal, listen, learn, and speak your truth with love. For us, this is a platform where we can activate, inspire, support, and elevate you and ourselves so that we all can strengthen our existing relationships with ourselves and others and attract new, loving, and healthy relationships in every area of our lives. So, Collective, we invite you to call in and share in the conversation with us. We definitely want to hear from you tonight. So if you'd like to join us, our Goddess Roundtable discussion tonight, you can call in at 424-222-5250 and press 1 to comment. Or you can ask questions in our chat room as we will be monitoring that as well. But as always, we're going to prepare for our grounding anchor to anchor us. So let's take a couple of deep breaths and bring ourselves fully present into the space. We want to come into alignment and balance with our natural way of being so that we can remember that God, Goddess, the Creator lives within us, and it's up to us to activate the power within in order to come into alignment. So let's breathe again. And be fully present in this space. Today, our grounding anchor comes from the Daily OM, and it's called Performing Daily Ceremony. It's by Madison Taylor. Having daily ritual or ceremony in our lives is very important to keep us connected to what really matters. When we perform or participate in rituals and ceremonies, we enter into a state of mind that is different from mundane consciousness. Ranging in significance from bedtime stories to weddings, ceremonies, and rituals are acknowledgments that an event or period of time has a special meaning. As a result, they can have the effect of drawing us into the moment, inviting us to pay closer attention and tune in to the subtle energies that are always present but that often go unrecognized. In addition, as we perform the same actions we have performed before and will perform again, we immerse ourselves in a river of continuity that extends back into the past and forward into the future. Many of us have distanced ourselves from rituals that may have seemed too constricting or too attached to an organized religion we have chosen not to follow. However, we can reclaim the practices of ceremony and ritual to good effect, imbuing them with our new consciousness, and we do not have to wait for a big event to do it. We can engage in daily practices that include ritual and ceremony, reminding ourselves throughout the day of the sacredness of this life. In fact, if we look closely, we will see that our days are already made up of rituals, from the time we wake up to the time we retire. So we do not need to change anything except our perspective to imbue our day with an air of ceremony. Most of our daily rituals revolve around nourishing and cleansing, both of which have always been sacred acts. With this in mind, we may pause before each meal, close our eyes, and say a silent thank you to the universe that provides. If we want to get more elaborate, we can light candles or bless our food. Similarly, as we wash ourselves in the morning and evening, we can choose to see the grace of this act of cleansing and purification as we release what has passed, what was past, and prepare ourselves for the new. We can be as simple or as complex as we like, so long as our attitude is one of reverence for this sacred moment in this sacred life. Collective, let's prepare ourselves for some spiritual therapy.
Why would I spend the rest of my days unhappy? Why would I spend the rest of this year alone? when I can go therapy, when I can go therapy, when I can go therapy two times a day. Why would I spend the rest of this week so bitter? And all that listening is making you bitter too. When I can go therapy, when I can go therapy, when I can go therapy two times a day. I don't wanna be around me, and I don't blame you if you're blocking all my calls. Been a while since I've been sleeping soundly. Most nights I lie awake between 2 and 4. Work is stressing me out, and after all this time, it's still never enough. Why would I spend the rest of my days unhappy? Why would I spend the rest of this year alone? When I can go therapy, when I can go therapy, when I can go therapy two times a day. I care more about what you think than I care about the music. When I get cross with you, I'm surprised you care at all. I figure if I had a lifetime of time left, well, shame on me if I don't get to you. Days unhappy. Why would I spend the rest of this year alone? When I can go therapy, when I can go therapy, when I can go therapy two times a day.
All right, welcome back, Collective, to Conversations with Goddess M. I am Goddess M, a.k.a. Milani Shani, your host, and I thank you all for being fully present in this goddess light that we're sharing with you tonight. Our topic tonight is we're continuing our series on tools for elevated living, and we're talking about living altars with our special guest and intuitive reader and energy healer, Eve, from the Rose Oracle. We are at our Goddess Roundtable, so if you'd like to join the conversation, we're going to open up the phone lines all night long. The number is 424-222-5250, and press 1 to comment. So, Goddess Ashe, I tell you, it's been one of those weeks, and I'm still trying to get used to sunlight at this time of day. You know, the sun is bright, shining in my eyes, and I'm like, okay, are we early for the show? Are we late? What's going on? But it's been a crazy, crazy week. It's a lot going on in our lives, I'm sure in your lives as well as our lives. So we just want to take a moment and just talk a little bit, just be transparent and talk a little bit about what's going on and what's happening with us. Because if you're going through the same thing, you need to know you're not by yourself. You know, there's a lot of transition happening, a lot of stress. I was feeling a lot of pressure today, a lot of stress this week and trying to get every single thing in my life done. There's so many things that's going on. And I said today, I was like, you know what? It's okay. Whatever it is, it'll get done. And if it doesn't, it's okay. So I want you to do the same thing. If you're feeling like you're just feeling high pressure right now, you're feeling like you can't get it all done, like it's not enough hours in the day, you're allowing yourself to get stressed, your body's not feeling good, just let it go. Just like whatever you can do, do it. The rest of it, just let it go and know that it'll be taken care of in divine order. Take a deep breath and let it go. Goddess Ashe, what about you?
You know, it's interesting because probably 3 weeks ago, I'm guessing, I started really focusing in on adding new daily practices. And my my schedule also changed during the day. So I needed to have these things so that I could manage the activity and manage the stress that comes with change. So what I've found is that they have been lifesavers. You know, getting up and just sitting outside, you know, listening to the birds, breathing in that fresh air and really grounding myself in the morning. If I'm up early enough, watching the sunrise and really reflecting on what are the gifts of this day, writing down my gratitude, just really focusing in my attention on what is going to make me feel good today. What do I need today? What's going to bring me joy today? Then going to Jeju, which is a spa here in Atlanta. Again, just to give myself what I'm needing as my time is, as I'm being required to do more. And so that has helped. Because I'm going to tell you, if I wasn't doing these things, I think I would have still been left last week somewhere in one of those days. I'd still be back there somewhere. So it becomes really important. And as we talked about in the grounding anchor, ritual and ceremony, do a lot of that every day, and it doesn't even feed us, doesn't nourish us, doesn't nurture us. But we're doing it constantly. And so it's just a matter of, as we said earlier, changing our perspective and really incorporating rituals and ceremonies into our day that give us what we need, that revitalize us, that restore us, and allow us to keep moving and feeling good. God is in.
Yes, absolutely. That is so true. And thank you for that reminder. I think we were talking about today because I was talking about how frazzled I felt today, stressed, and I was saying, I didn't do my meditation practice. It's very few days that I get up in the morning and don't do my meditation practice, pray, and do some type of movement with my body. So absolutely a great reminder that we have to add our spiritual daily practices. And I was thinking too early when I was talking to you that I hadn't been outside enough. So that is also a great thing to do when you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, overstressed, to get outside in nature. I know it's something that I really love, especially this time of the year. And to, you know, just be fully present in what it is you need, whatever that is. Some of the things that we tell you on the show that we do, some of the practices that we have, some of the practices that our guests have, some of them may work for you, some of them don't. Choose whatever works for you, what makes you feel whole again, what brings you your joy and peace, and do that because it is a time where the doors of the universe are open. And we're saying, yes, 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 I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, yes, yes, yes. And as we continue to say yes and fill up our lives, we also have to have daily practices to make sure that we are, because good things happening in your life can be just as stressful as shadow things are happening in your life. And so the thing is to make sure that you are grounding yourself and finding your place of peace as you move forward and receive all the gifts and blessings that you've been visualizing, dreaming, and really working towards for all this time. I was having a conversation with another friend of mine this week talking about how this is a time that all of our dreams and blessings and visions can come true. It's a time where all that we've been doing, all that hasn't worked in the past, all the things that, you know, we've tried and we just didn't have success with can really work now. We can bring it to fruition now. And so we don't want to be in this space where we're saying to ourselves, you know, it's not going to work. I tried that before. Or if somebody come and ask you to do something you really like that you tried before, it didn't work. It's like, hey, try it again. Because it's really, really important that you understand or understand the time that you're in. Sometimes it's all about divine timing. Delay never necessarily means denial. So definitely be open-minded. Remember what your passions are, what you really love. And if an opportunity comes up, even if you've done it before, you're a different person. You have a different mindset. You have different practices. And we are definitely in a different time. So you can look forward to different results. Another thing we talked about was to not be attached to the outcome of what's happening. The journey is really what you want to be in and enjoy. Enjoy the journey and know that the outcome is just the gift of the journey. So no worries about the outcome, what's going to happen. We are moving so fast and evolving. For those of you who are really moving, who are not being held hostage by the past or feeling stagnant, we are moving at God's speed right now. And so if you are allowing yourself to elevate, you're going to be changing all the time. So allow that. You're going to be tweaking things, changing things. So don't be attached to the outcome or trying to do something the same way you did it before. Really allow yourself to listen to your spirit and do things the way that you're being led to do it, and success is guaranteed. So just wanted to share those things with you before we jump into our show tonight and talk to our special guest, Eve, who is amazing and wonderful. Anything else from you, Goddess Sashay, before we introduce our guest tonight?
Actually, I want to make a comment about the phone line. Okay. And that is, I know a lot of the phone services have now started charging for particular numbers that you call in. So if you have had that happen to you and you prefer to call in because you do want to share your light, if you have a Google number or if you have a phone app, I believe you can sidestep the charge that they are trying to put on some carriers. So just a little FYI. Got a sense?
Okay, yeah, thank you for that, because we have had some challenges with our guests calling in and having some problems with being charged with the phone. So we definitely want you all to let us know if you're having some challenges. Just send us a quick chat in the chat room, or you can email us at chatwiththegoddess@gmail.com and let us know if you're having challenges calling in. All right, so let's get to the good part. So tonight, we are excited to bring forward our special guest, Eve, from the Rose Oracle, and we're talking about tools for elevated living. We're doing this series because, again, what we talked about earlier, just want to give you some tools to begin your elevation and to open up and to receive all that you are ready to receive. And so Eve is going to be talking to us tonight about living altars. And so I get questions all the time about altars. How do you set up an altar? What's the purpose of an altar? How do you find stuff for the altar? So we're going to talk about that tonight. And the question that we have for you tonight is, do you have an altar? And if you do, is it living? Is it a living altar? Have you activated your altar? So going to be some exciting conversation tonight. Thank you to those of you who just joined us. Welcome to the show. And we're going to introduce Eve and talk about living altars tonight. So Eve is a spiritual intuitive reader and energy healer. Her foundation is love. Her belief is that love is not a feeling but a life force energy. Eve is also the creator of the Rose Oracle, which supports and guides individuals into a sacred space of love for self and all life by releasing emotional, spiritual, and energetic blockages within the mind, body, and spirit. So, collective, please send some love and light towards our special guest, Eve. Welcome to the show, Eve. How are you?
I'm well. How are you all?
Okay, there we go. Doing wonderful. So happy that you are here. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're really excited to talk to you about Living Altars tonight. But first, we just want to ask you tell us a little bit about you and who is Eve and what is the role of Oracle?
Okay. Well, when I first began to, channel or download information about the role of Oracle, I was on a path of discovering my own self-love and self-appreciation and really finding value in that. And I always felt as though, you know, I wanted to help people. I wanted to help people to discover a peace and a gratitude for themselves, you know, regardless to what their lives presented to them, you know, to have that grounding. And so when I started to get this information coming through about how I could do this work, you know, I knew that it was a divine calling. I knew that it was what I was supposed to be doing. And so I chose Rose Oracle because roses also represent resurrection. And that is what I am doing with myself and what I'm doing with other people is giving them I'm giving myself the space to be resurrected, to come from darkness or shadow spaces, regardless to what area they are, and be in the light, and be in the light with love in our hearts and able to give that light outward. And so that is what I do. I provide spiritual readings, spiritual consultations. I do energy work that is geared towards helping you to transform your shadow, your darkness into light and into love so that you can then go out and live your purpose. And so that is a little bit about me and how this came to be.
All right. Awesome. Being resurrected. All right. I love that. Go ahead, girl, and resurrect yourself. That's awesome. And you know, one of my favorite flowers is definitely roses. Love roses. So for me, they just represent love. And my mom, when she was living, really loved roses. So represent a mother's love and the embrace of her love. So that's really beautiful. So why did you start creating altars? What was it about the altars that attracted you?
Well, I actually first started creating altars. I had to be about 11 years old and my mother actually had altars when I was younger, and I always thought that they were the coolest looking things. And at that time, I didn't necessarily completely understand what they were for. But, you know, I wanted to be like her. And so when I saw these altars, I felt like they were really special. I thought that they were really magical. And so as I created them, I began to further my understanding of what they were for. And for me, they have always been about connection to something of light, something of love, something deeper and higher than what I knew, and something that could help to guide me and ground me. And so as I got older, you know, I just began to really explore, you know, all the different kinds of altars and what different people use them for. And so I'm finding my own space in that work and in the work of creating altars and what that looks like and what that means for me, because I really believe that it's a sacred space and it's your sacred space and it's an extension of you. And so it is yours, you know, and so that's how I got started.
Okay, an extension of you. I like that. So tell me, why would a person create an altar? What's the purpose? Like, you know, I know you talked about it being an extension of you and, you know, creating a sacred space, but what other reasons do people create altars?
Well, people would create altars when they are, one, wanting to connect and ground and have something on a physical level that they can use to really guide their energy and their intentions. You know, you don't necessarily have to have an altar. It's not mandatory, but it helps. It helps to have a space where you can go that acts as a physical connection, like a phone line, you know, between you and spirit. And so having this really allows you to get grounded, you know, especially like Goddess M and Goddess Ashe were talking about earlier, when you're having those days that are just kind of stressful or kind of wild, just to have that space that you can go to and just pray, to meditate, to do your work, and just to find guidance and grounding. So that is, those are some of the reasons why you would create an altar. And outside of those things, if, you know, if you're wanting to manifest certain things, like manifesting money or manifesting peace within your home, or, you know, other things, you can also do those things at altars as well. It's all about the intention that you set. And so it really is like a phone line. The conversations that you have allow you to then generate whatever outcome it is that is most divine and what is truly what's needed in that moment. And so when you're manifesting different things, you know, go and meditate, go and pray, go and ask, you know, your angels or higher source, whatever that is for you, to help you to bring that about. But those are just some of the things that you would use altars for.
Thing. The thing that I thought about as I was listening to you is that often we go into places and we're surrounded by altars, and we don't even realize it. When we go into restaurants, Thai restaurants, Chinese restaurants, Mexican restaurants, if you're paying attention, there's typically several altars in there. And when we see areas where people have, there's been some kind of tragedy, people set up sites where they are basically altars. So we're surrounded by these things, and yet some of us, especially I think in the Black community, have kind of turned away from it, thinking that it's something bad that we shouldn't do. And really what I'm hearing you say is that altars, much like prayer rooms, are a place that you can focus your energy, focus that intent, so that you can bring about the things that you are asking for or intending for. So how do you choose a space?
So what I would recommend when you're choosing a space is to find somewhere that is quiet, someplace that you can go and it not have a lot of traffic, because you want to have a space where you can go and just get silent, especially if this is something that you are new to. But having it on some kind of surface, you don't want to put it, you know, straight on the ground. You want to have a cloth or, you know, you can use a table or a desk, you know, anything like that. But as long as it's not directly on the floor, and I always recommend putting some kind of cloth down. I like to use white, but it also depends on, you know, what kind of energy you're working with and, you know, what your intention is. But I would say, you know, if you're just starting off, to use, you know, like a white cloth or something to start the foundation of your altar. And so I try to stay away from electronics, you know, not putting it right next to TVs and that kind of stuff, just because the energy of electricity can kind of sometimes, that I found anyway personally, with the energy of your altar. And you want it to just be a sacred space, you know, a sacred space that is just your own and it's not a bunch of other things going on at the same time. you can have them in your home. You can have them outdoors if you like. Any space really that brings you peace. You know, it's about you being able to get grounded and get centered. So any space that brings that for you, that represents sacredness for you, that is a space that you, you know, that I would suggest that you choose. But again, this is a connection that you are creating. And so ultimately, you know, you should follow your own intuition and your own guide as to what space will be best.
Yeah, I think that's really key, is that making sure that you check in, tap into your own spirit, your own guides, your creator, whatever, however you go into meditation and prayer to find out what's the best space to put your altar in. And, you know, how you want to arrange it. Like you said, if you want to put it outside, if you want to put it inside, you know, everything is really tailor-made to you, especially when it's a spiritual work, because it's for your grounding. It's for your peace. It's for, it's your sacred space. And so what feels sacred to you is really what you want to look at. So we have a caller on the line, Richard, and he has a question about his wife is actually a clairvoyant and life coach and medium, and he wants to know what's the difference between what you do and what she does. Richard, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Wonderful. I am doing very well. Thank you so much for calling into the show. So I'm going to let Eve answer your question, and then I'm going to come back and also answer, and Goddess Ashe, and they also have some feedback for you on that as well. So
perfect.
Eve is actually an intuitive and energy healer, and you said your wife is a clairvoyant and a medium. And so
yes.
Eve, in your view, what would be the difference between what you do and what a clairvoyant and medium, if any difference at all?
Well, I wouldn't say that as far as this, being a spiritual intuitive reader and the clairvoyant and the medium, there isn't a lot of difference. I think that is more so the label, you know, the, or the name that you put on it. It's all about connecting to spirit, being a translator for spirit. So however that comes through, you know, is really kind of determined by you. You know, how is it that you want to receive this information? So it's not a whole lot of difference outside of the name and just the way that you can bring it through. Mediums, you know, they channel. I do channeling as well. It really depends on the work, you know, what it is that the moment is calling for. And then the energy work is more of a physical healing where I'm connecting directly with your spirit, with your body to heal it, to identify and then release any blockages that come up. So that would be the major difference is the energy work, because it's more of a physical healing versus the intuitive reading.
Okay. I'd like to.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I recognize there maybe is some terminology here. I guess I'm kind of a very technical person. So when I first got together with my wife 7 years ago, I'm very open minded. So she told me what her gifts were, and of course I have to be very technical about everything. So the way she explains it, that there are three spirit guides that she speaks to. They communicate to her. Mm-hmm. There are different personalities, and they kind of each individual consciousness has a different purpose, and they have their own mm-hmm. personality per se. And of course, the mediumship part of it is more so my wife, for whatever reason, is a conduit for those who have passed to speak through. You know, it's not, nothing comes from mm-hmm. her. It comes from the other side of her. We're both
right.
Christian mm-hmm. and we believe in the Trinity. So I just want to comment when you were talking about an altar, it was very generic. Whereas, you know, if whatever we do, my wife and I, we always, if we feel there's, you know, negative energy, we always ask our, we always ask God to surround us with white light in order to, you know, as a way to protect us. But that falls in with our Christianity belief system.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm very technical about things. I'd like to read something that I wrote. It's very short, but it kind of exemplifies what I believe. And I just want to get your thoughts on it, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. So I wrote this a couple years ago. So, and it starts, the simplest way to put it, we are spiritual beings / consciousness living in a physical body in a three-dimensional environment of which we are bound by inside space and time, i.e. outside the singularity. Some have been here many times and some have been here a few times, if not just once. We are here to learn lessons and have been here in this three-dimensional environment since the creation of our consciousness. So in a way, we are in a type of matrix. Being born is more of a shock than dying. Because if you accept my explanation, we are not inherently part of this native environment. When we die, we are actually going into an environment that we are more completely connected to than we are fundamentally a part of now in this three-dimensional space. Finally, there are many realms and planes of existence to the point where I don't believe we could ever comprehend while we exist in this time and space. And as for death, death here is a slip into the singularity and into the spirit realm. But notice there's no references to God there.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely in alignment with some of the things that we talk about here on the show. I think it's a beautiful description of your belief. And I, you know, for us, we believe that here at Conversations, we believe that everyone has their own individual belief. Everyone has their own truth. And we allow or are very open to that, people's truth and what they believe and how they believe it, because who are we to judge and tell people what they need to believe? But I definitely am in alignment with some of the things that you said. I think that we, as Eve said earlier, we call God or our higher power or all many, many names, but I think that we're all one and we're all connected, and I think that that is what God is. It is all of us, because each one of us is illuminating a light from our spirit, which is connected with everything that exists, and that is God for me. And so whatever you want to call it, God, Allah, all, whatever it is you want to call it for yourself, anybody wants to call it, it's definitely okay with me. As I said earlier, you know, it's really up to you. What is your sacred space? Where, just like you said, you're very technical. It's like you want to kind of have the breakdown of, like, who is your wife talking to? Who are these personalities or who are these spirits?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
How is she talking to them? Yeah, and I have a lot of clients who are the same way. You know, I have to break it down to them. But for the most part, I'm very general about it, because if I really broke it down, it would be probably scary to people, like, what really happened.
Well, I kind of like it.
You know, when we're talking to spirits and when we're being conduits and vehicles for spirits to come through. So most people couldn't really deal with it. It takes us a while, and I'm sure your wife has some stories about when she first started the channel, that it takes us a while to even deal with all of that and then what's coming through and what's happening to us. Started happening to me very early on. Eve is, you know, is young, so it happened to her very early on. Same thing with Goddess Ashe, happened to her very early on. So, you know, we've been moving through this and learning about this. And so we've learned that it's not really about the specifics of what we're doing, but it's really about, where do you find your sacredness? You know, where do you find your peace? Where do you find your truth? And wherever that is, we're good with it, because that means that you're in alignment with your life, how you need to move forward, and what your purpose is. And your purpose individually is very important to us, because it always impacts the collective. And so for us, it's like whatever you believe you're in alignment with, as long as it is light. And my one of my family members, my cousin, said to me the other day, he's an electrician, he said, you have to have negative to have, you have to have dark to have light. You have to have negative to have positive in the electricity business. And so I can't even say as long as it's not the shadows, because even the shadows bring light. And if your light is bright enough, it can absorb the shadow, turn it into light, and you can actually use that energy. So our whole intention here is to keep our light bright,
to keep our lights on so that no matter what comes, we can absorb it, we can take it in, and we can turn it into light. But I think that's beautiful what you wrote. I really love it. And I want to give Goddess Ashe an opportunity to speak to you as well, Richard. Goddess Ashe.
I want to thank you, Richard, because I thought it was beautiful as well.
Thank you.
I have had an ongoing conversation around death when it comes up, because there is, there tends to be a lot of fear around death when people don't understand. My thought is that when people pass, they're going to that same space that babies come from, and babies don't come in terrified, especially when they are in a loving, natural environment. They come in peaceful. And so going beyond the veil is not some horrible experience or some awful place. It is returning to oneness, as you shared. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling in. You got some clarity. I know we weren't real technical, but hopefully you did.
That's okay. I just wanted to share a little bit.
Your call. Yeah, we thank you so much for calling in and for listening to the show. And I'll definitely tell your wife, because we are sisters, because we do the same work. Send our love to her, and Goddess blessings to you, love.
Oh, I will. Peace to you all. Thank you.
All right. So, wow, that was wonderful. Wonderful conversation. I always love it when we hear other people's interpretation of how they find their sacred space and what they believe about their truth in the sacredness and in the spirituality, because there's billions of people on the planet, and everybody has their own experience. Everybody has their own intention. Everybody has their own sacred space. And sometimes we make that so trivial, or we judge it so much, we can't even tune in and tap in and hear the beauty of that. And so here at Conversations, we always listen because, we would have missed the beauty of what Richard was saying in his reading if we weren't open to whatever it was that, he wanted to say. So I'm very grateful for that. And definitely open to be in a space where there is love and light coming through, and I can definitely hear the love and the light. So thank you again, Richard, for calling in. So Eve, so we're back to talking about living altars, and I really do love altars as well. I have usually one or at least one altar in the house, but I know I've been in your space, and I know y'all roll with a lot of altars. Like, it's like, altars here, altars there, altars everywhere, and all kind of stuff on the altars. I'm like, what is all this stuff? But it's beautiful, and you can feel the power and the energy coming from the altar. So Eve, talk to us about how to actually activate an altar. How do we activate an altar?
So how you would activate an altar is really through your intention and your prayer. That's where it all begins. Once you put the stuff on your surface, your foundation, what really begins to put that energy into it is that intention and that prayer. I typically will use both when I'm just setting up a new altar, or even if I'm just shifting the energy for my altar, I will give an intention or set an intention and pray over it. I feel as though when you're doing that, you are basically setting the ground. You can set your boboundaries. You can say, okay, these are the kind of energies I want to come through, or this is what I'm doing here. Because remember, this is your space. This is your connection that you're creating. And so when you begin to set your intention and you set your prayer, that energy goes directly there. And as long as you're holding that and you are keeping your intention pure in that space, it will remain activated. You know, as long as you continue your communication, you know, it remains activated.
Yes, I'm glad that you said that, because it is very important, because a lot of times people think we're afraid of to hear and see and feel the presence of spirits energy from the other side or from parallel spaces. But one of the things that I learned early on was that you're in charge. It is what you say it is. You know, if you say, you know, only these spirits can come through, then only these spirits can come through. If you say, you know, this is the altar of love and light, this is an ancestral altar, only my ancestors can come through. If you say this is a relationship altar, you know, I want to create an energy of a beautiful mate or relationship, then all of that is you. It's you set the tone, you set the energy for your altar. You know, here we believe that everything begins and ends with you. So taking full responsibility for whatever shows up in your life and in your altar. If you spend your time in the shadows, you're going to have a lot of shadows that show up in your altar. But what you can do in your altar space, but what you can do, and we'll talk about that a little later, is you can, again, like we talked about earlier with Richard, is illuminate your light, because the light will absorb it all. Okay, so great, great point on that, Eve. So, Eve, what kind of altar would you recommend for someone who's never had an altar, never had any experience with the altar whatsoever? What would you recommend for them, the first thing for them to do?
Well, the first kind of altar that I would definitely recommend is a prayer altar. It is something that, regardless to where you are in your spirituality, whether you're a part of a religion or whether you are kind of creating your own space, prayer is something that I feel is universal, you know. And so starting with that would be my first suggestion, you know, and allowing yourself to get into a grounded space, allowing yourself to feel connected to the energy and the intention that you are setting, and just be, you know, say your prayer and just allow yourself to be in that energy of that prayer. That would be the first thing that I would suggest. Or if you do meditations and maybe you haven't had an altar, you can do a meditation altar. So one of those two things I would suggest. But if you haven't done meditation, I would suggest the prayer altar.
Yes. And then the next thing is, do altars have to be tied to a religious practice? Because I know a lot of people think that, you know, if they do an altar, it has to be tied to religious. And some people do that. They have their own religious practice, which is fine. But some people don't have a religious practice. They just practice spirituality, doing their spiritual daily practice. So does an altar have to be tied to a particular religious practice?
No, it doesn't. It is really your own connection. So if you are a part of, you know, a particular religion, that's okay. You know, that is how you choose to connect. And so even if you're not, you know, you have certain higher sources, you know, whatever names you give them, whatever energy, you know, it is that they're holding, you know, you have that special connection. And so an altar is just a vehicle. It's just a connection, you know, for you to be able to connect on a physical and visual way, especially for people that like to see, you know, that space, that connection space. That is something that that I would recommend.
You know, I wanted to, as you were talking, I was thinking about how sometimes when we are doing things that maybe are new, we have, you know, and then sometimes when we are someone like Richard said he was, he's very technical. Okay, well, what do, you know, what? So my thought was, and I want to get your feeling on this, a lot of times on a basic altar, especially if you're just starting, definitely water, because water is life, it's cleansing. And typically I will include something from each element, something that represents each element. fire, maybe a candle, a tea light candle or a larger candle, something that represents earth, something that represents air, and allow your spirit to define what that is. How are you feeling about that, Eve?
Actually, I really love that because that's something that I do with my altars as well. But it's one of the ways that I've also found that you can do it, especially if you're just beginning and you may not have, you know, pieces of each element. What you can do is just start off with a candle. You know, I like to put, like I said earlier, a white cloth down and just setting my candle on that altar and allowing that to be that connection, because a candle does represent, you know, all the different elements. And so, you know, once you begin to be guided to have different pieces, you know, crystals or feathers, you know, water, stuff like that, then you can also add those things as well. But if you're just beginning, you know, you don't have to have a million and one things. It doesn't have to be extremely elaborate, you know. You can start off with something as simple as just a candle. And really just allow yourself to connect and feel what it is that your altar is supposed to feel like and look like and have on it, because ultimately, again, it is your sacred space. This is your connection. And just like you are unique, so is your altar. And so allow it to be you. And allow yourself to be guided to those things that represent you and represent the kind of connection that you're looking to create.
So one of the things I did when I first started creating altars was, I didn't even realize this at the time, I was going to different crystal shops and, you know, just because I love to walk around in crystal shops and go into different health food stores and stuff. And I would just pick up little stuff. You know, I didn't know why I was picking it up. I was just picking up stuff that resonated with me. And it actually just all started to come together on a table. And I didn't realize it was an altar at the time until I looked at it and I was like, that's an altar. So sometimes you may just go different places and, you know, you may see a stone that resonates with you. You may see a beautiful candle that you love. You know, stuff may start to just come together. Some of you may already have an altar and you don't even know it. Just stuff that you love, pictures of your ancestors, all of that would be considered a sacred space for you. So you may already have been creating an altar in your home and you don't even know it. Got it, Sashay?
You know, as I was writing my notes, that was one of the things that I was saying. I've been in plenty of houses where there is a wall or a hallway or a room that have photographs that go back for generations. Guess what? That's an ancestral altar.
Yes, it is.
Because all of their energies are coming forth from those pictures and from the love and the attention that they're receiving as you pass by. So, you know, for those who, and I doubt that they even listen to the show, but for those who would be put off by the idea of creating altars, again, we have altars all around us. It's a matter of being aware and choosing how it is and what it is that we're doing there, you know, what it is that they're representing for us. But they're all around.
Absolutely. Okay, Collective, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, if you'd like to join our conversation, the phone lines will be open. You can call us at 424-222-5250. And remember to press 1 to comment. You're listening to Conversations with Goddess M, where love and relationships are in elevation. I am Goddess M, your host, and you are listening on High Frequency Radio Network. We'll be right back.
the things that cause me pain. I am not the pieces of the dream I left behind. I am light. I am light. I am light.
Collective, welcome back to Conversations with Goddess Up. Of course, that was I Am Light by India Irie. Beautiful song. I really love that song so much. I am Goddess M, your host, and thank you so much for being fully present in this Goddess Light that we're sharing with you tonight. I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Goddess Ashe, and we're continuing our series on tools for elevated living tonight, talking about living altars with our special guest, spiritual intuitive reader and energy healer, Eve, from the Rose Oracle. We're at our Goddess Roundtable, and if you'd like to join the conversation, the phone lines are open. The number to call is 424-222-5250, and just press 1 to comment. So, Eve, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for being here, love. I wanted to talk about, like, how often should people be doing work with their altars? And then what does that look like, working with your altar?
So, for me, when I am doing work at my altar, I try to sit down at least once a day, even if it's simply just to set my intention for the day, or to say a prayer in the beginning of the day or in the evening. But I would suggest, especially if this is something that you are just beginning, it is to sit down at least once a day, maybe in the morning or maybe in the evening before you go to bed. And even if it's simply thank you for this day, gratitude is something that is extremely important when you are working with anything, but especially when you are working with the spiritual realm, because that gratitude comes or translates as light, it translates as love, and so that is exactly what you will attract. So if you are, if you are not necessarily just beginning your altar, you can choose a set amount of times that you want to go. It's all in the intention, but you want to make sure that you are consistently giving that altar energy. Thinking of it like yourself, you want to feed yourself every day. You want to have water every day. And so just like you're giving yourself that energy, that love, that light, you want to do the same thing for your altar because, again, it is that extension. But ultimately, it is up to you. This is your creation.
One of the things that I thought about as you were talking is that, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, the ancestral altar. And so a lot of times when we may have something set up for a particular ancestor or for several ancestors. And for me, when I am setting up for them based on what it is that I'm doing. I may put things there that I know they enjoyed while they were in this physical life. So it may be a favorite flower. You know, it may be my grandfather's pipe. It may be coffee. You know, because it, again, as you said, is the intention. It is the connection that you've had with that person while they were here. And what you find is that your connection is even deeper and more profound once they've passed, because the illusion of separation is no longer there. So I'm loving this conversation. Thank you for being here.
The illusion of separation is no longer there. Do you want to speak on that? That's kind of powerful right there. We want to spread that out a little bit.
Yeah, I actually would. What it made me think of, actually, the idea of altars, you know, kind of coming together is when someone has passed and, you know, people will set up flowers, they'll set up candles, you know, teddy bears, that kind of thing. One thing that I've kind of made a practice of doing whenever I pass one is to send a prayer, because I recognize it as being that kind of space, that an altar-like space, you know. And I feel like when you release the expectation that it looks or has to be a certain kind of thing, you allow yourself to be open to the abundant or abundance that it truly is. It's connection, and there's connection everywhere. And so you no longer have that sheet, so to speak, you know, over it. You know, it is no longer this evil thing or this bad thing. It's no longer a religious thing. It's no longer any particular thing. It is a divine connection. And it's sacred, you know. It's something that people can do that brings them peace, that grounds them, that brings them clarity, that brings them to a place of oneness. And so when you look around you, they are everywhere, you know. Even your home, so to speak, you know, the physical home, you know, your family is there, your, you know, the people and the things that you love are there. Your home is a space, or it can be a space of love. And so when you are coming home, being in gratitude, when you are passing by or leaving, being in gratitude, because that also is a space that can act as a physical altar that you're sending energy to.
Love this conversation, because one of the things I thought about was Goddess Tasha talked about the illusion of separation is no longer there, is a lot of times we don't know that, you know, the separation that we're feeling is an illusion. A lot of times when we're feeling alone or we're feeling lonely, it's really a state of mind. It's really about a reality that you've created, which can be an illusion. And so when we look at looking at being separated from our loved ones that have passed, really that does not, it's not existing. There's no separation. The people are the, when our loved ones pass, energy never dies. And so as we talked about earlier, if your light is illuminated, you absorb that energy and you become one again. And so when we're here in the physical body, we tend to feel disconnected, even though we never are. We feel disconnected. We feel separated. But we're really never, ever disconnected and separated. And that's why I said that it's loneliness, and aloneness is a state of mind. Sometimes we want to be alone. Sometimes we need our, you know, alone time. But when we feel those feelings of loneliness, like there's nobody here or nobody for me, or I'm, you know, by myself in the world, really you're with yourself, but there's so many energies and spirits and love, so much love and peace and joy all around you so much if you can just open yourself up to it and let it touch you and be tapped into it. And a lot of people are afraid of that feeling, but let me tell you, it's one of the best feelings to feel connected with everything. It's nothing like having that feeling of feeling connected with every single thing, because as Eve said, you always feel abundant. You never feel like you're in lack. You always feel like you have more than enough because you're connected with all there is. There is no lack in that. It's all abundant when you are allowing yourself, you're allowing, first of all, your own light to be illuminated and not covering your light, which a lot of us, you know, have learned to do through our experiences, but opening up and allowing your light to be illuminated and then allowing it to touch everything, every living thing around you, including other energies. It's an incredible feeling. It is so abundant. So it is as you say it is. You are the co-creator of your reality. So if you say you are abundant, if you say you are connected, if you say you are never alone, if you say you have more than enough, then so it shall be. Because this is how powerful you are when you are fully present in your life. That would be the key. Being fully present in your life, even when things don't look, when you're looking with your physical eyes and things don't quite look the way, because, you know, sometimes we look around our lives and we're like, why, and why? That's all we want to know, why, what, why, how. And, you know, but if we look with our spiritual eyes, which is connected with everything, which can see everything, I always tell people, my humanity, I don't rely on her that much. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. She's moved me through a lot of stuff. And she's taken a lot of time to heal herself, and I'm very proud of her. But I can't rely on her because sometimes she'd just be running amok, you know, because she got feelings and egos and prides and hurt and pain and all that. And she's released a lot of it, but she still sometimes be running amok. So it's my spirit, the light within me, that I rely on to tell me the truth, because I know that my spirit knows all, whereas my humanist only knows based on its experience. She only knows based on what she's been through, what she's seen, what's in her head, what she knows. But spirit is connected with all there is. So spirit knows everything. My spirit knows everything. So all I have to do is tap into my spirit, and then I know everything. I know. So we have to remember that when we're going through, to look with our spiritual eyes, to clear our third eye chakra and look with our spiritual eyes to see beyond what we see. That's really the importance of really creating sacred spaces, doing your spiritual dating practices, being involved in ceremony and ritual. And sometimes when you say ceremony or ritual, people check out. When you're doing rituals every day, you get up, brush your teeth, that's a ritual because you do it every day. Those of us, you know, you go to church, that's ceremony. You know, sometimes, you know, people go to the ice cream parlor every day, that's ceremony, that's ritual. You know, you do it every single day. When you're taking a bath, that's ritual. Okay? So try not to get sidelined by the words. You know, we pay so close attention to the words that are coming out of somebody's mouth, but you don't pay close attention to the energy, who the person is. That's why a lot of you get stuck with people that you like wake up 2-3 years down the line, like, again, why, and why? Okay? Because you're not really allowing yourself to open up and vibrate, you know, let your light touch people so you'll know exactly who they are. When you're shut down and you don't trust and that type of thing, that leaves you open. You're wide open and vulnerable. So the thing is when you're open, when your light is shining, then you can know, is this person in alignment with me? And again, it's not about a person being a bad person or anything like that. It's just like they may not be in alignment with you and a good fit for you. And so all of this is how we create sacredness, how we create our rituals and our ceremony for our lives, because we want to keep ourselves in a sacred and light space. So, Eve, do you have any comments on that?
Yes, I really love that piece, especially when you were talking about the separation and when you are feeling alone, you know, in the world. I've definitely been there, you know, and I think that that's part of what really influenced me is the word that comes to mind, but to create an altar in the first place when I was really young, you know, wanting to feel connection, you know, and I think that that's something that is extremely important, which is also part of why I do the work that I do, is because we need connection. You know, I had gone out the other day and I had been in a space where I really was just kind of focusing in on me, you know, and I sometimes I forget to go and get fresh air, you know. But I went outside, and the oneness that I felt when I realized that I was out with all of these people, all of nature, and I could feel that connection, you know, it felt amazing, you know. And so connection is something that is important, and we need it, you know, but we're never without it. You know, that's the thing. We are never without connection or the ability to connect. You know, there are an abundance of ways and places to get that connection from. And so even if you're feeling like you are alone, you're not. You have people because you're here. You know, you have people, you have your guides, you have your ancestors who are looking out for you. You know, have you ever had something happen in your life that could have gone a completely different way? You know, and it didn't. You are being guided. You're being loved on. You're being led, you know. And even in those times where you feel like everything in the world is terrible, that everything is just happening to you, you know, it's not because you were abandoned. It's not because you were just left alone. It's because there's something that you're needing to see, and you're needing to find the light in that shadow. You're needing to find the love in that space and pull it out. You know, and a lot of times, every time, like Goddesson says, everything begins and ends with you. You know, so if you're experiencing that shadow, if you're experiencing that aloneness in your life, where within yourself, you know, are you creating aloneness for you? You know, where in your life are you feeling those shadows, you know, in yourself? Where are you feeling those shadows? What things aren't you looking at? What things aren't you wanting to feel? And realize that everything you're experiencing is just preparing you for your greatness. So, you know, the important thing is just to realize that you have an abundance of divine support, and you're never alone.
So we're talking about connection and spirits and that type of thing. So, Eve, can altars create portals for lower or higher vibrational spirits?
Definitely. They again, your altar is a connection, an extension and connection to you. And so if your altar is attracting or holding lower or higher vibrations, again, it begins and ends with you. And so where is your vibration? You know, what intentions have you set? Are your intentions pure? Because you are the one that's in control of that connection. And so if what you are attracting is not something that you desire, shift. You know, decide to do something different. Decide to be different. You know, decide to set boundaries and intentions so that you can create what it is that you are wanting to manifest through your altar, the connection that you're wanting to have.
Yeah, Sashay?
Yeah, you know, I've just been having all kinds of pictures and thoughts running through my head as we're talking. And so one of the things that is one of the most beautiful sacred spaces or altars for me is being outdoors, you know, being surrounded by trees, by flowers. That is the original organic altar. The other thing that came to mind is when we talk about the energies that we attract, because as you said, a portal is a gateway. It's a place where you can reach beyond the veil. And so if you are doing this, but it's a game to you, that you're just kind of playing with it, and, you know, we've seen how that turns out on the movies. I mean, don't do that. you know, or if you are not pure of heart, if you are going there in all of your humanity, and you are seeking lower lower ends, then what you will attract will match the energy that you're putting into the altar. And, you know, what you give, you receive. And so you then have to look around at your life, at the kind of works that you're doing, and what your life is showing you. And so it becomes very important that for me, when I am at my altar, creating an altar, as Eve and Kasim have spoken, be very clear about what it is you're doing and where it is you're coming from, you know, how it is that you're being. Because this is for real. This is more real than the things that you see with your eyes. And so, you know, you want to be able to tap into things that are going to lift you, uplift you, uplift your family, uplift your community, because it's available to you. And so often, as I mentioned earlier, it saddens me really to see how the kind of spin that has been placed on what is naturally ours, and how disempowering it is when we're afraid of everything. You know, that's where your power is. It's in your connection. It's in your ability to hear the guidance that you receive when you're connected. And to disconnect from that is to shoot yourself in the foot.
So Goddess Eve, so what other services do you offer besides helping people to create altars in their home?
Well, one of the things that I do, or a couple of things that I do that actually kind of alluded to earlier, was the energy work and the spiritual readings. I do several different kinds of spiritual readings. I provide life purpose readings, or spiritual life purpose readings, which are absolutely amazing. They basically allow me and you to receive from spirit what it is that you were divinely put here to do, what gifts, what attributes, what things you have brought in this life with you, and things that you've learned and gained from previous lives, and how they come together, what it looks like when you are really living your spiritual purpose. And so that's one of my favorite readings that I do. I also do just a general reading. You know, if you have any questions, concerns, that kind of thing, I do those. I also do past, present, and future life readings. I do readings for women who are either pregnant or have just had babies, to just help them with their connection, their bond, you know, where it is that this child will need you most? You know, what things do you all need to heal in your relationship? Because if a child has come to you, you have already had on an energetic and spiritual level some kind of connection, you know, and so what things are you all needing to strengthen, or what things are going to be wonderful, you know, what things are going to come up for you? So I do those kinds of readings as well. And then I also do, as I was saying, the future, past, and present reading. And I extend that over to for the present reading, a month or several months or up to a year. And so you can kind of just see where it is that you'll be in each thing, or even things from your past that will influence or come up in the present time or future times. And so that's very beneficial, especially if you are in the midst of feeling shifting happening in your life, changing happening, or just wanting that to happen. You know, what is it that you need to do to get that ball going? And then I do energy healing work. And so that is basically where I am cultivating love. And so I'm using the energy of love to identify any blockages, whether they're emotional, spiritual, mental, however they show up, even physical. You know, if you're having some kind of ailment in your body, those kinds of things will show up as well. And so it's almost like a body scan, you know. And so I'm using that pure energy of love because, one, it's gentle. Two, it is connected to everything. And so it allows me to connect to everything, or spirit to connect to everything that is you. And so in doing that, I'm able to help you to heal and transform those things that may be causing you to be out of alignment, or to be in any kind of illness. To transform that shadow into light, to transform it into love, so that you can be the best of yourself, so that you can begin to cultivate your own love within you. Because one of the things that I am very passionate about is not creating a space where you feel as though you need me. I'm simply here to be a guide. I'm simply here to show you the way and then allow you, or help you to gain those tools and the knowledge to be able to do it for yourself. Because my intention is never for anyone, not even myself, you know, to be dependent on an outside source to feel good or to feel connected to love. And so in my work, you know, I make sure that I'm sharing tools and things that you can do so that you have the foundation that you need to grow in your own light and your own beautiful uniqueness.
Thank you, Eve. One of my favorite services that Eve does is the water therapy. She is incredible as far as being a vessel and what she calls a translator for spirit to bring through what is needed now. Because sometimes when you have consultations or you have guidance, it's all in the future. It's out there somewhere. But one of the things I love about Eve is that she does give you now answers, now guidance, now tools. And also her water therapy energy session is really incredible. I mean, I was like, wow. She saw a lot of things within my body and confirmed a lot of things for me, a lot of things I could do to help my body to run at a better optimal level as far as health-wise. And so really beautiful spirit. One of the things about Eve, too, is she's just a gentle spirit. You listening to her talk, she's very gentle and, you know, very sweet in her talk. But don't get it twisted. She's very powerful in her work, and, you know, she is very effective and impactful. So that's my favorite service. Goddess Ashe, I know you've been also privy to Eve's services. So do you have any favorite services that she does for you?
You know, I was sitting here, and I was, as you said that about the water therapy, I was thinking about the last time that I had that, and it's interesting because you don't have to be physically with her to have that experience, but I've had it more than once, and each time it has been different because I've been different when I've had it. So I did enjoy those, but I've also had experience her reading. And very accurate. And it is the kind of reading that takes you back to you. It is the kind of reading that doesn't always give you the yes or the no, but gives you the tools that you need to find the yes or the no. And in that way, you get the lesson, if that makes sense. So very good. Very good. Gotcha.
So, Goddess Eve, can you tell everyone, our listeners, how they can reach you and learn more about your services, please?
Yes. So if you would like to reach me, you can email me at roseoracle.msge@gmail.com. Rose.oracle.msge@gmail.com. You can also visit my website at www.roseoracle.weebly. That's weebly.com. Or you can follow me on my Instagram, rose.oracle, for weekly readings and inspiration.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to do that one more time because I didn't get it all, and I'm not sure our listeners got it all either. So one more time.
Okay. So my email is rose.oracle, and oracle is O-R-A-C-L-E, .msge@gmail.com. And you can visit my website at www.roseoracle.weebly, and Weebly is weebly.com. Or you can follow me on Instagram at rose.oracle.
Okay, I think we got it. So beautiful, beautiful spirit Eve is, and thank you so much for being with us. Do you have any final thoughts you want to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, I really just want to thank you all for holding the space for me to share. And then to all of the listeners, you know, above all in anything that you are creating, be pure, you know, be you in your authenticity, you know. That is what really makes the magic. That is what adds magic to this world that we're in, you know. And so allowing your own light, your own love to shine is what will transform your life and the lives of others and help you to live your divine purpose.
So thank you so much for being with us, Goddess Eve. We appreciate you being here. Very powerful, light spirit, collective. Like I said, she's got a little voice, you know, sweet and everything, but once she get with you, you're like, whoa, you know. It's like, okay. And we just appreciate you being here. She's definitely a part of our team. Goddess Ashe and I have a whole village of people that keep us moving in the right direction, and Eve is a part of that village. And so we just appreciate her taking the time out to be here with us tonight. And if I can get this right, it's rose.oracle.msge@gmail.com. That's her email address, rose.oracle.msge@gmail.com, or you can visit her website at roseoracle.weebly.com. So thank you so much, love, for being here. We appreciate you, and we will definitely have you back again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you.
All right, Goddess Ashe, final thoughts for the collective tonight.
Tonight was just a very beautiful show. I mean, her energy that she brought into the space and added to the table was just, you know, just very beautiful, very grounding. So I really appreciate the topic because it just reminds me that we are never disconnected. only a matter of perspective.
And that is absolute. We are never disconnected. Sometimes we feel like we're disconnected, but that is the illusion or the reality that we're creating for ourselves, because everything begins and ends with us, and we are the creators in our lives. And so in order for us to be able to create connection, we have to be open. Lights have to be shining, you know. So those of us who decided to shut down, not trust and doubt and all of that good stuff, it's very difficult to be connected when you're in that space. Open up, you know, and let your light shine. It's so, so very important. So tonight, for those of you who just joined us, we are talking about living altars tonight, continuing our series on tools for elevated living. We just finished talking to our beautiful guest, Goddess Eve, from the Rose Oracle, and very excited that she was here with us. She gave us a lot of knowledge and information and tools on how to create living altars, how to activate altars, why we should have altars in our lives. So those of you who just joined us, you may want to go back and listen to the recording, because she gave us some really, really good information. So also, Goddess Eve does a daily, weekly reading for us on Conversations with Goddess M. I think she started out doing daily, and now we're doing weekly. And so if you want to see some of her weekly inspirations or weekly oracles, you can go to conversationswithgoddessm.com. And I'm going to give you my final thought tonight, which comes from our Goddess Eve, her oracle reading for this week. And she says, "Greetings, love. This week I was guided to work with the Ascended Masters. Their message is to be open to love, love from self, others, and the universe. You have been doing a lot, and it's time to breathe and receive some love. Don't allow yourself to get overly exhausted. Take time and silence to get grounded and be open to guidance and support. There is an abundance of love around, and to receive it, just say yes. If you have built up walls that may stand in the way of love, sit in prayer, visualizing your guiding angels, and ask for help." So you can find other messages from Rose, from Eve on the Rose Oracle at our website at Conversations with Goddess M, or you can visit her website at roseoracle.weebly.com. Thank you so much to our special guest, Eve, and my beautiful co-host, Goddess Ashe, and to all of you who have called in, logged in, or clicked in to listen and be inspired, supported, and elevated by this goddess energy tonight. Conversations with Goddess M is here every Sunday night on High Frequency Radio Network at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. If you'd like to get reminders about our shows and learn more about our upcoming events, join our mailing list at conversationswithgoddessm.com. If you need support, you can reach out to me, Melani Shani, or aka Goddess M, at chatwithagoddess@gmail.com. Again, that is chatwithagoddess@gmail.com, or reach out to Goddess Ashe at bodydivine@gmail.com. Again, that's bodydivine@gmail.com. You can also find our products and services and show archives at conversationswithgoddessm.com. It has been an absolute pleasure being with you all tonight. I look so forward to being with you again next week. I wish you all goddess love and light for your week. Remember to be you, be love, and remember, we are in elevation. Good night, everybody.